Well, it's a short conference, so it'll be the last meeting. And, well, we'll maybe have another weekend to continue, right? Where were we? We're in chapter 2, right? Yesterday. Concerning God's covenant with Levi. It's really a very special covenant. We all know that God has made a covenant, an old covenant, with God's people in general. But because God's people worship the idol, the golden calf, fallen, it's a stiff-necked people. Really, like all of us, we're all stiff-necked. Right, so only the tribe of Levi stood on God's side. This is a very important principle. Today there are so many believers, so many Christians, but not too many believers, although they are Christians, willing to take a stand for God on God's side. We do a lot of compromises. We are afraid. We just want to do and follow the crowd and do whatever everybody says. Well, the crowd must be right, right? Because there are so many of them, just like the Lord Jesus when he was on this earth. I don't think too many people followed him. Not too many. In John chapter 6, of course, so many crowded there because they want to see the miracle. Well, feeding 10,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, well, that is marvelous. Everybody likes that. But when the Lord told his people to eat him, my flesh is the real food. And my blood is drink indeed. I think it's a hard saying, and everybody left only 10, 12, actually 11, right? If you don't count, you know who he is, right? And the Lord even asked them, well, why don't you go too? Why are you staying here, right? And Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. Where else? They are for the reality of life. Right. So a lot of people, they follow the tradition, the religion, Judaism at that time. Right. Well, during the day of Pentecost, the Lord only had 120 people. Can you imagine? Not 12,000, not 120,000, but 120 people. You like to follow the 120 people, or would you prefer to stay with Judaism? At that time, I don't know what I would have chosen at that time. I might be in the wrong crowd. We all tend to follow the crowd. But to take a stand on God's side, not on tradition, not on certain teachings and doctrines, but to be on the Lord's side. I think we had a song, We Are on the Lord's Side. Right. That's right. It's not easy. It's not easy. And I think we have been experiencing that even among ourselves in the last 50 years. It's very easy to just follow what everybody's doing. But if you see something is not right, and the Lord showed you and opened your eyes, and you still are afraid to take a stand for the Lord, then the Lord will say, it's okay. It's your choice. But those who took the Lord's way and took a stand on the Lord's side, the Lord will make a very special covenant with them. And this is God's covenant with Levi. Originally, God wanted a nation, a kingdom of priests. Everyone should have the priesthood. Can you imagine? It must be a wonderful nation. A nation of priests? Wow. A holy nation. Holy. Right. Today, the church should be the kingdom of priests and a holy nation, a very special people. It's his treasure. It is his treasure. So this covenant is a very special one for Levi, right? For the tribe of Levi. Yeah. And the priests are the messengers, the real messengers of the Lord. To speak what the Lord wants to say. It's not our normal understanding of messages. Oh, somebody's going to give a message. Or we read the messages, right? What message are you going to give today? This is our concept of message. But a messenger must be very faithful to speak God's word, what God wants to say, and it is not his own words. None of the prophet in the Old Testament scriptures ever spoke their own words. It was exactly what God wanted to say to his people. And most of the time, what God wanted to say to his people didn't want to hear. They like to hear something that pleases their ears. How about you? Why did you come here? You like to hear something nice? There's nothing nice in the book of Malachi. I'm sorry. There's nothing nice. God was rebuking his people. God even said that he's going to throw dung on their faces. And then God is going to throw them out together with the dung. You know, it's really amazing that God would use such language. He must be really, really disgusted. Really disgusted, yeah. So it is not something nice. No, we're not here to listen to something nice. But to listen to what God's speaking is to us. And usually, it is not just doctrine. No, there's no doctrine here. I don't think there's any doctrine. Maybe you can get some doctrine out of it. I'm not very sure. I couldn't find any. Even in the book of Revelation, in the seven churches, the Lord speaking is always very straightforward and exposing us for the reason that we might turn and repent, right, and to follow him. Right. What is the use of nice doctrine if it doesn't help you? Right. You can enjoy so-called message and then go home, and but you remain the same. And so this is not God's plan. This is not God's way, is okay. This is not a way God will speak to his people. Yeah, so last night we saw that God's requirement for the priesthood is, his standard is very high, especially the word holiness. And I want to emphasize this point. To do a lot of work, you don't need to be holy. Even to give a message on Sunday morning, you don't need to be holy. That doesn't mean that it's okay not to be holy, okay? But if you preach the gospel, you don't need to be holy. You just have to know the truth and just tell other people about the gospel. Right. But if you want to serve as a priest, to enter into the holy place, to touch holy sacrifices, you cannot do it with unholy hands because you're going to defile the offerings. And once it's defiled, God will definitely reject it. You cannot serve God without being holy as a priest. You have to put on holy garments. You have to be cleansed, not only in your conscience with the blood of the Lord. Even Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, having your bodies washed with pure water. You cannot enter into the Holy of Holies defiled, no. You should also put on the holy garments, put on Christ to enter in. Right. It's not just any kind of a service that we are doing. So holiness is very important. You want to see God. Without holiness, no one can see God. You can give a nice message. You can understand the Bible, read the Bible. You can do a lot of things. You can go to Africa. You can go to, I don't know, where you want to go to preach the gospel. It's fine. It's very good. Well, if God requires holiness for you to preach the gospel, I don't think there won't be any preaching. There won't be any preacher left. There won't be too many preachers left. Right. But enter into the Holy of Holies to bring the sacrifice to the Father. Right. You have to do it according to God's way. And again, I want to warn you concerning Nadab and Abihu. Remember those examples. Of course, they were consumed by fire, and today the Lord is not going to just kill you right on the spot. No, but spiritually, you may be dead. No life spiritually. Don't think, I'm still okay. No. The church in Sardis is a dead church. Remember that. Right. So, to be a priest, it is really amazing. Let me bring you to Ezekiel. Let us go to Ezekiel chapter 44. Beginning in verse 15, right? So, this is talking about when the Lord comes back and builds his temple in Jerusalem. This is talking about a priesthood in a millennial kingdom here. Many of the Levites, because they were not faithful, they left the way of the Lord. Only the sons of Zadok were faithful. Remember this wonderful name, Zadok. Right. So, verse 15, the Lord said, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, this is important, who kept my charge, who kept charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me. And of course, many of the Levites went with them, even to serve them, while they were serving idols. Can you imagine that? So those Levites were not qualified. Now the sons of Levi, right? Sadok was faithful. So they shall come near to me to minister to me. Wow, this is really wonderful. To minister to the Lord himself. You're not just doing something for God. but you're ministering directly to him. Which service would you like to do, Stefan? Well, there are so many things to do outside, okay, in the outer court. There are so many different services to do, and some people say, oh, I like to do this, this is my ministry, this is that, and this is that. Some people like to speak, some people like to give messages, some people like to run around, and I don't know what you like to do to serve God. But Zadok, especially at this time here, they minister to the Lord directly. How about that? What do you prefer to do? We all are active people. We like to do something, don't you? Right? I like to do this. I like to be active. Oh, my goodness, right? 50 years ago, I'm very active. Believe me, I was very active. But today I only want to come before his presence. Yeah. And then only to do what the Lord asked me to do. And to bring his food on his table. Yeah. Right. Just like Nehemiah, you know, serving the king. What did he do for the king? So many things. The king says, go there and fight the battle, and go there and do this, and you go there and do that. Well, of course, well, you come back as a general, right? Everybody will say, wow, what a warrior, right? You became famous. But here is a man who served the king Jesus all the time with a bottle of water to the king. You think that's nothing? He must be the most trusted person of the king. To be on the king's side, you might poison him, you know. It's dangerous. It's not an easy job. The king must have trusted and loved this man. Don't think, oh, he's doing nothing. He's just bringing a cup, you know, cleaning it and put something to drink and bring it to the king. You think that's a good job? It is the most wonderful job. To be able to come near to him and to minister to his need. You're not caring for so many other things. You care for his need. Yeah, they shall come near to me to minister to me. Wow. How do you like that? And they shall stand before me. What, Lord, stand before you doing nothing? How do you like to stand before the Lord? Doing nothing? Well, before me to offer to me the fat and the blood. Put the food for the Lord's enjoyment on his table to satisfy him. Not everybody can do that. You don't think that, oh, it's so easy. No. Yeah. It is not easy. It is not easy, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, the most holy place. Don't take Hebrews chapter 10. It says, oh, by the blood we just all run into the holy place, you might not come out alive. You cannot just take Hebrews chapter 10 without the context of the whole Bible. Of course, the whole scriptures, Hebrews 10 does not have to repeat everything, right? We're going to have, I don't know how many volumes of the Bible. You'll have to bring volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the Bible. I mean, to the meetings. But here you can see that to enter into the sanctuary, it is not easy, right? And they shall come near my table to minister to me. Wow. Not very easy to come into the Holy of Holies to meet the Lord. Don't just run in with your pajamas, with your, I don't know what. And, you have to put on the holy garments, the priestly garments, for beauty and glory. You know, God commanded Moses to make garments for the priests, for Aaron and his sons. And these garments are for beauty and for glory. You cannot just appear to the great king without these holy garments. Sorry. Right. Because you're appearing to this wonderful God. Yeah, and they shall come near my table to minister to me and keep my charge. Whatever is necessary to do in that whole sanctuary. Yeah. And it shall be that whenever they enter the gates of the inner court, they shall put on linen garments. The holy, fine linen. What did Revelation chapter 19 says? The fine linen, pure and white, what are they? They're the righteous acts, the righteous deeds of the saints. You cannot enter into that area being unrighteous. No, the righteous deeds of the saints. They shall put on linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. No wool. Why no wool? Right. What happened if it is already a wonderful right temperature and you wear a woolen, thick woolen jacket? What's going to happen to you? You're going to sweat. You're going to sweat. In serving in the Holy of Holies, you should not sweat. You know sweat? After serving the Lord, you're fully exhausted and you'll be lying on the ground half dead. That means you're serving not with your own strength. Absolutely not. You don't serve according to the flesh. It is not according to your own strength. Remember the first time sweat was mentioned is when Adam fell and now they have to labor on the ground and the curse be to the ground. And that sweat is a sign of a curse. This is the service of the priest. Yeah. Serving him. It should not be burdensome. Oh, I'm really weary. It's so burdensome. I have to bring something to offer to the God, right? It is so difficult. And even a turtle dove is too heavy for you. Goodness. Right. Yep. No wool shall come upon them while they minister within the gates of the inner court or within the house. And they shall have linen turbans on their head. Why turbans on the head? Right. What is in your head right now? While you're sitting here in a meeting, where is your head? In Hawaii or something like that? You know, your head can travel to places. You may not be there physically. You may be thinking about your Tesla. You may be thinking about your Mercedes. The dog's name is Mercedes, yeah. But your head may be thinking about something else. Well, you better put on the linen turban. The enemy attacks your head. Right. So if our mind is not renewed, not saved, right, you're there and yet your mind is somewhere else, that is not good. Right. So you need to put on the turbans on the head and linen trousers on their bodies. They shall not clothe themselves with anything that causes sweat. How are we going to serve the Lord as priests? You tell me. Right. So when we are sweating, you will not sit still. You will be sitting there. You know what I mean, right? And when they go out to the outer court, right, to the outer court, to the people, they shall take off their garments in which they have ministered, not to defile that garment. This is a very special garment that we need to put on. And meaning to say to put on Christ, but not Christ in general sense. Of course we need to put off the old man and put on Christ to live Christ. But here in the service, this is a special priestly garment. Right. So we need to learn. We need to learn, especially if we are ministering to the Lord. You said, well, Christ is Christ. Well, for you, yes, it is. But there are so many different aspects of this wonderful Christ. Right. When you go to work, you put on special one, a white one, right? White robe. Why? Yeah, because you're doing a special service there. You go to the hospital, you don't see the doctors going into the their most holy place, which is the they should be clean, and then they should put on masks, although it's not pandemic, they put on mask. And they have to put on, you know, so that their hair will not fall off. Right, all of a sudden, one of the hair fall off into the body. That is not very good. They should put on gloves. It's a special garment. Don't say all garments are the same. No. If you're running on the field, you put on a different garment, right? Yeah. So don't think put on Christ is just put on Christ. Hallelujah, I'm putting on Christ. Not that simple as you think. Yeah. And in their holy garments they shall not sanctify the people, meaning to say mix them up with the people. You have to remember, to be sanctified, the first meaning is also to be separated. Right? And so here, you can see it shall not mix. Why? Because if you, there was a question asked by the Lord, right? If your hand is defiled and dirty and you touch something that is holy, will that defiled hand become holy? The answer was no, no. But if you have something that is holy and it touches something that is defiled, will that holy thing be holy still? No, it will be defiled. This is what it is. Don't think, oh, I'm so holy and I touch something unholy, that unholy thing will be holy. No, you will become unholy. That's the way it is. Don't touch anything that is dead and anything that is unholy. You're going to defile yourself. Don't think, oh, I'm okay. No, you are not okay. Believe me, it is like that. I have seen quite a few examples in my life. There are certain things that we Christians should not touch. I told certain brothers, no, don't be so nice and think you can help that particular situation. He says, no, I'm going to help him. I said, let people who are more qualified help them. No, I won't go and help him. So, okay, he wants to go. He went. And he came back saying the same thing as the one he wanted to help. Anyway, they shall neither shave their head, or don't shave your head, okay? Nor let their hair grow long. You know, very strange. People either want to shave their heads or grow their head long. What does it mean if you grow your hair, right? The hair is a head covering. What does it mean? You cover your head. That means you are obedient. And if you shave your head, that means you're rebellious. Okay? So, of course, but a person, a priest, cannot grow long hair. Why? Because you cannot just be a person agreeing with everything. To have a long hair means you agree with everything. You have no discernment. If somebody says, this is an amen. If somebody says, that is an amen. You said amen to everything. Even if it's wrong, you say amen. And if you shave your head, you're rebellious to everything, including to God. You're rebellious. You always say the opposite. No. A priest should neither shave nor have long hair, but trimmed it the right way. That means you must have discernment. You have to have discernment. Don't agree with everything that is not right. If it is the truth, you say amen. If it is not the truth, you cannot say amen. Don't say amen, 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 amen. Many times I told the saints, don't say amen loosely. Well, amen, amen. Even the prayer, the sentence is not over yet. You already say amen. You don't even know what he's going to say at the end, and you already say amen. What if he says wrong things? Don't say amen in a loose way. You know, if we say amen, it becomes a habit. Amen, amen. And even in our talking, normally you say amen. Oh, let's go to have dinner. Amen. What do you mean, amen? Amen to what? Right. Oh, it becomes a habit. Don't do that. Right. Be a sober person. Have discernment. Right. If we are a person who is in the spirit, we discern all things. If it is wrong, you say no. If it is right, you say yes. Let your answer be yea, yea, nay, nay. If it is in between, it is of the devil. Don't remain on the gray zone. You're a priest. If it is right, you say right. If it is wrong, says wrong. Otherwise, you get into deep trouble. And I've seen that amongst us. Many of the serving brothers, they call themselves leading brothers in the churches. It's very obvious it's wrong, and they knew it's wrong, but they didn't say it. And they even cover it up. That's not right. And at the end, what is the result, right? You all know. Yeah. But they shall keep their hair well trimmed. Do it properly. I don't mean you should cut it so short, right? But don't let it grow so long either, like the hippie, right? Well trimmed. Praise the Lord. No priest shall drink wine when he enters into the inner court. You know what too much wine does to you, right? And obviously Nadab and Abihu probably drank wine. That's why after the incident, the Lord says, no wine drinking before you enter into the holy place to do service, because your mind becomes cloudy. You can't think right anymore. You're not sober anymore. So, right, before, it does not mean no drinking of wine, no. But when you enter into the sanctuary to serve, not one drop. Because, hey, you are speaking for God. You are a minister. You are a messenger. If you speak the wrong message to the people, that is a big responsibility. And if you serve something that is not right to God in his table, it is not right. And if somebody puts some poison in the cup and you bring it to the king, you're going to lose your head. Right, you're going to lose your head. Amen. And they shall not take as wife a widow or a divorced woman. What does it mean? Don't just take somebody according to the lust of your flesh. No. Don't do that. Oh, I like this and I like that. And you just go ahead and sign the paper. Don't do that. Otherwise, you're going to sign paper again. You sign the first paper, then you're going to sign the second paper, and then you're going to sign the third paper, and then the fourth paper. You're going to keep signing papers. It is not very wise, no. No. Right. To be like-minded. Be not unequally yoked with the unbelievers, Paul wrote. Because it is easier for the wife to pull the believing husband down than for a believing wife to pull the unbelieving husband up. Yeah. Right. So, take your marriage seriously, young people. Right. Yeah, but take virgins of the descendants of the house of Israel, or widows of the priests. Right. Our faith must be the same. Our ways must be the same. Otherwise, your partner, who is not a believer, or a worldly person, will drag you into the world. Yeah. Right. Now, and they shall teach my people a lot of doctrines in the Bible. Did it say that? No. Naomi, what does it say? The difference between holy and unholy things. This is more important than knowing doctrine. Let me tell you, if you're an unholy person, I don't care what doctrine you learn, it's not going to help you. It will be of no help to you. Right. So, we need to learn to be holy. If you can differentiate between holy and unholy thing, then you will be a person that can differentiate between what is truth and what is not a truth. Right. Yeah, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Wow, you have to discern. Right. Don't just teach doctrine. Now, I've heard doctrines for so many years now. I'm tired of doctrine. Right? I think Steve also, right? Tired of doctrine now. Right. And in controversy, well, there are a lot of controversies among people. As long as there are people, there are controversies. They shall stand as judges and judge according to my judgments, God says. Don't be biased. Don't look at persons and respect of persons. And don't look at the so-called big apostles. No, you judge righteously. You look at God because he's the only one that is righteous. He's a righteous God and a holy God. Because if you judge wrongly, you're going to cause so much trouble among God's people. It'll be horrible. It's a horror stories. And they shall keep my laws. Of course, you have to keep the law. If you're a lawless person, and you're the judge, just like what's happening today in this country, people sitting there with that black rope there, they are really black. They don't judge righteously. They purposely judge unrighteously. If we have such judges in the house of the living God, we are finished. They shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my appointed meetings, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Why Sabbath? Why keep the Sabbath? Yeah, you tell me why keep the Sabbath. When is Sabbath first mentioned? In Genesis, the first chapter, in the seventh day after God finished everything on the sixth day, God rested. So what did Adam do? Can you imagine, Steve, what Adam would do when God created him in the first day? Adam will say, oh God, let me help you. Let me help you do this. Oh, you want to create so many things in nature? Why blue color in heaven? I prefer purple. It's nicer. What about green grass? What color? Pink grass would be better. God is going to have headaches. Adam, go to sleep. You tell your dog, stay, sit, down, and stay. But he's not going to listen, I tell you. Adam is not going to listen. He's going to cause a lot of trouble. then God will not finish in 6 days. He'll be finishing in 60 days. There'll be a lot of problems. Keep the Sabbath. Cease from your own work. That's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4. He who enters into the Sabbath rest, he ceased from his own work because God finished all the work. What do you have to do? Nothing. And yet you do everything with him. And that is a real rest. That's a real rest. Right. So, as a priest, you better learn. Otherwise, you will think, oh no, the Lord's table is so wearisome, burdensome. It's weariness for me. Right. But if you are in the Sabbath rest, praise the Lord. Right. And they shall not defile themselves by coming near a dead person. Uh-huh. Don't touch anything that is dead. I don't know. We are too good, and yet we are too bad. Are you too good or are you too bad? Are you good or are you bad? Sometimes you're too nice, you want to help. But you cannot help a person. Can you bring Lazarus out of the grave? So what are you going to do? Dig the grave and put all the bones piece by piece together and put some clay on. Is that a big help, Emmanuel? Are you going to do that? Are you going to try even? You better leave it alone. It's dead, you cannot help. You try to help, you might fall into the grave, okay? That's not very good. At the end, you might end up dead. Discern. Discern. Don't ask me the question, Anna, because many people ask me the question, what does it mean, dead? I say, I cannot tell you. You have to discern. You will know if you're a person in spirit. There are certain things you cannot touch. Yeah, or coming near a dead person, only for father, mother, sons or daughter, brother or unmarried sister, they may defile themselves. Of course, this is referring to physical, but I'm talking about spiritual. The person that you can help, the persons you better stay 6 feet social distancing. It's not altogether that bad. Yeah. You know what I mean, right? You know what I mean. But if he defiled himself with his close relatives after his cleanse, they shall count 7 days for him. That means he shall be completely cleansed because death is very defiled, worse than sin. Yeah, you can help a person who sinned to repent, but you cannot help a dead one to rise from the dead unless you are the Lord Jesus. Or you are Apostle Paul or Peter. Or you're Elijah. Right? So if not, don't try. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord God. Yeah. And on the day that he goes to the sanctuary to minister in the sanctuary, he must offer his sin offering in the inner court, says the Lord God. You see, so many requirements for priests. You still want to be one? Brother Amaran? Are you discouraged? Am I encouraging you to be a priest, or am I discouraging you to be priests? Emmanuel, you still want to be a priest? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm glad. Yeah, and it shall be in regards to their inheritance, you shall give them no possession in Israel. Why? For I am their inheritance. Wow. God will be your inheritance. Do you prefer just to have a piece of land, or do you want to have God as your inheritance? You tell me now. Huh? If God is your inheritance, everything is yours, okay? But if you just inherit a piece of land, that's it. That's it. But God is your inheritance. That's why do not love the world. Because if you love the world, you're going to lose everything. At the very end, you have nothing. Read what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3. Everything will be burned away, rolled away, and thrown away. So what will remain with your inheritance? But if God is your inheritance, wow, what else do you need? You don't need anything, right? Well, today, of course, you need things. That's fine, you know. But those are not your inheritance. They're just things that you need, you use, and that's it. Right? You need a house, you need a kitchen, and sometimes you need a little ball for exercise, which is okay. Kick around, but that's not your inheritance, okay? Because God is going to kick it out and it's going to land in Mars somewhere, right? Yeah. God is our inheritance. What is more precious than this wonderful, great, almighty God? The one who is, who was, and who is to come. The Lord of hosts, the creator of heaven and the earth. The Holy One, the Righteous One. The God of glory, the God who owns everything, the God who loves you even. It's so foolish. You know, I thought many times we, the believers, are so foolish. Yeah. Amen. You shall give them no possession in Israel, for I am their possession. How wonderful. This is the priesthood. And they shall eat the grain offering, that's best, because God's people will offer the best to God. The sin offering, they're going to bring all the perfect lamb and goat and right, all these wonderful offerings. The best of all the first fruits of any kind, hey, God is going to give it to you. If you serve him as a priest, you will have no need. You have no need. Of course, he's not going to give you all so that you will have abundance and then your heart will be distracted, right? Every sacrifice of any kind from all of your sacrifices shall be the priest's portion. Wow. Wonderful. Right. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal to cause a blessing to the rest on your house. Right. Praise God. That means God will take care of the need of his priests. You don't have to worry. God will owe you nothing. You're faithful to him. He is even 1,000 times or more faithful to you. I always remember that story. One time I was going to sell my house, moving here. And it was the time of the conference in Bangkok. And I called, the brothers called me. I said, okay, the conference date is this. When are you coming? I said, brother, I'm just in the process of selling my house and moving. So please, I cannot go this time to Bangkok. you brothers hold your own conference. You know what a brother told me? John, you take care of his house here in Bangkok, and he will take care of your house. What can I say? I couldn't say anything else. I say amen. So I told the Lord, the moment, the day I step back in this country, coming back from Bangkok, that house should have been sold for this much and for this amount and finish. And we went to Bangkok, didn't think about it anymore. And the moment we step in LA airport, the phone rang close to midnight, can you imagine? And the realtor told me, somebody is so interested in your house and want to have it right away. I said, what? And he said, but he wants a lower price. I said, no. My agreement, contract with the Lord is that. No. Take it or leave it. And so 5 minutes later, she called back. He's just taking it. I said, done. Well, so quick. So quick. Well, it's just amazing what a wonderful God we have who is so faithful. You're faithful to him, he will be faithful to you. Yeah. This is our God. This is the living God. Trust him. And he is your inheritance, he is your possession. And a priest shall not eat anything, bird or beast that died naturally or was torn by the wild beast. Right. This is a very important principle. Right. Don't just listen to any message or nice teaching that does not give life. Don't be curious, just wanting to know. If it is not from the mouth of the Lord, if it is not life and it is not the Spirit speaking, forget about it. Because once you take it in, it's hard to take it out. Once it gets into your concept, oh, man can become God, you take that. You are going to have problem. You're going to have great problem. Don't eat anything that is not life. Don't be like Mercedes that eats anything. Oh, he even tried to pick up, I don't know where he got it, a piece of nail that is even so rusty already, and he was going to chew on it. Don't do that spiritually. Have a discernment. Ask the Lord, is this full of life or not? If it is not life, forget it. I don't care how wonderful the explanation and exposition is. The craftiness of man, Paul says, that leads to the systematizing of error. No, don't be children tossed to and fro by every teachings and through the craftiness of man. No, don't do that. Ask the Lord first. Go to him. It is his word. Right? Who can share with you the truth more than the anointing that is in you that will teach you all things? Trust in him. Right? And don't force him to explain to you if you don't know. Just wait. Just wait. When time comes, you will know. The Lord will explain to you what you need to know. Right? Yeah, this is the covenant that God made with Levi, and especially with Zadok, the sons of Zadok. Yeah, praise God. Now, unfortunately, the priesthood degraded. Let's go to Roman numeral 7. What time are we supposed to be finished? 11:30, yeah? 11:30 or 11:45. I have grace period, right? Yes. Departing, turning aside from the way of the Lord. Don't think you cannot do that. Don't think you will always be following the Lord wherever he goes. Just like Peter, Lord, I'm going to follow you all the way to the cross. That was a wonderful desire, but did he make it? Don't be so quick to say, I will follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Well, it's written, and it's nice, and it is good, and we have a desire, but many times I have no confidence in my heart, and I will say, Lord, you have to help me. Because I carry the flesh all the time with me. And I've seen in my lifetime so many people change their ways and their minds. And yeah, I know. We need the Lord's mercy and grace all the time. Yeah. They degraded from the way of the Lord. You read the verses there. They degraded. They didn't make it. People who came out of Egypt, all of them came out, but the first generation died in the wilderness. They didn't enter into the good land. And the next generation entered into the good land, but they didn't care about Jerusalem. And finally, they have Jerusalem and the temple, and they went to worship idols and turn God's temple into an idol temple. Paul says, we are those who have no confidence in the flesh. Do you believe in yourself? You have confidence in yourself? I don't. People say, that brother, meaning to say, this brother, has leprosy. I say, that's right, I have leprosy. How about you? You don't? But the Lord is healing me, praise God. So I'm not mad when people say, oh, you have leprosy. I say, you're right. I agree with you. But I'm in the process of being healed. How about that? Are you? Right. Yeah, what can I say? No. Learn from Paul. Right. In Philippians chapter 3, he says, we are those who have no confidence in the flesh. Yeah. We are still in the process of being transformed, being saved to the uttermost. Don't think you will not turn aside from God's ways. Unpredictable. We are unpredictable. And then if you turn aside as a priest, be careful, because you are not going to just turn aside by yourself. You will cause many to stumble at the law. Brother Steve, haven't we seen that? Well, it's okay if it's just I myself, right? But it's not just you yourself, not just one. You're going to cause many to stumble. At the end, they throw away all the truth. Yep. So may the Lord preserve us, especially at this time, because the Lord is coming soon, right? Lord, preserve us until you come, right? Forgetting the things that are behind, let us pursue, press toward the goal. By the Lord's mercy and grace. I like what Paul says, not that I have already attained. This is a wonderful attitude. That means Paul did not even have confidence in himself. Oh, he could have said, I've known so much already. Yeah, I'm a great apostle. What about you? great apostle, really. We are nothing. The more you know the Lord, the more you realize you are nothing. We are nothing. We are unprofitable. We are subject to fall anytime. And then you corrupt the covenant of Levi, the Lord says, you corrupt. And you show partiality, respect of person in the law. Look what happened. Well, my goodness, I've seen terrible things happen because of respect of person. Yeah. And then you will bring the Lord's judgment upon you, especially upon the priesthood. The Lord says, I will make the priest contemptible and base before the people. Yeah. This is not good. So, praise the Lord for his mercy that he called us into the priesthood. But on the other hand, being the priests of the Lord, a kingdom of priests, and I want all those who are listening this morning, right, in the Zoom, because not everybody can be here, be warned by the Lord in the book of Malachi. Be warned. Don't think it will not happen to you. It happens to other people, but not to you. No, it could happen to any of us. It could happen. By the Lord's mercy. And then you can see in point number 8, what happens if the priesthood is corrupted? It will corrupt the whole nation. It's going to corrupt all the people in the world. I mean, in the nation of Israel. And even it will corrupt the whole world. Right. The influence of the corrupt priesthood on God's people, on the people. Once you corrupt the covenant that God made with Levi, you are going to corrupt the people, the covenant that God made with his people. Because you are the example of the people. Then the people will become like you. Yeah. Profaning the covenant God made with the fathers. Now, this is not the covenant God made with Levi, but general covenant, the old covenant that God made with his people. Just look at this country, okay? Just look at this country. If the administration, the one sitting in the gray house, right? It's a gray house, right? Oh, is it a greyhound? No, gray house. No. What house is it now? A black house. The whole country will be corrupted. It's a principle, not just a spiritual principle here. It's a principle in this nation, in the whole world, it is the same principle. I'm not trying here to criticize, but this is a principle that you see it every day. And you think spiritually this doesn't apply? No, it applies. It applies to us. I've seen it. I'm speaking German now. I live through it. I live through it. Profaning the covenant God made with the fathers. People begin to deal treacherously with one another. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Now, this is the end of the Old Testament scriptures. Can you imagine? I wouldn't call it the grand finale. It is the depth of the finale. It is sad. It is not glorious. Look what happens to this nation if it happens like this. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? but we don't want to see this spiritually amongst us. Everyone dealing treacherously with one another. Committing abomination by mixed marriages with the daughters of a foreign god. You know, we are God's children. And those who are unbelievers, they are children of a foreign god. So you don't want to be a son-in-law of a foreign god or a daughter-in-law of a foreign god. You don't want a foreign god to be your father-in-law. Do you? Better not. Then at the end, the whole nation will become just like the other nations. This is a very serious offense to God. God told his people, you should not get mixed up with the nations, nor follow the culture and the gods of the nations. Don't go the ways of the nation. That's why God says, cast them out, even abolish them. Get rid of them in the good land. Why? Because they are demon worshippers. But they didn't listen. So at the very end, God's people worshiped the idols worse than the nations. Can you imagine? They even offer their children to the demons. Just like people nowadays. Hey, look at that great big religion that in Rome, they offer children to Satan. This is horrible. You think they don't do that anymore? You're mistaken. You're gravely mistaken. I just don't want to talk about it. But hey, the devil is the devil. He will not give us his practice, his worship from his people. Right. So this is what happened. God's people get mixed up with the daughters of foreign gods. Just like, hey, you remember Solomon? He was a good king in the very beginning, but at the very end, my goodness, he had hundreds of wives from foreign gods, and he ends up worshiping their gods. Are you better and wiser than Solomon? So it is a warning to all of us. Whatever is written in the Bible is a warning to you and me personally and to us corporately as God's people. Don't think we are an exception. Are you an exception, Chelsea? Well, neither am I. None of us are. If we are not depending on the mercy of the Lord. Yeah. And they profane the holiness of the Lord which he loves. Now, this is not easy to understand. The holiness of the Lord, how can you profane the holiness of the Lord? You cannot profane God as God in his holiness. No, but the holiness of the Lord is his people. Israel is his holiness, his holy seed. God was a holy nation, remember that. He wants a holy nation. He wants his bride to be a glorious bride, holy and without blemish. Now you look at the Roman Catholic Church. What is that? It's demonic, devilish. Even the audience hall of the Pope looks like a snake, and they did it on purpose. You want to become like that? To profane the holiness of the Lord? God's people is a holy race. We are a holy nation, a holy race, a special people. Are you a special people? Can the worldly people tell the difference? Looking at us and the way we live, the way we behave ourselves. Yeah. A holy race, it's a holy nation, a holy seed. That is why God is very particular in creating the holy nation. He called out Abraham. And then out of Abraham, he eliminated anything that is born of the flesh in Ishmael. He wants one that is born of the Spirit, Isaac, a holy seed. Only by the seed from Sarah, Isaac, God's people will come out of that. God is very clear about that. And then after Isaac, you have Jacob and Esau. Again, God made a separation between Esau and Jacob. And God says, Jacob, I have loved, and Esau, I hated. And that is how God brought forth changing Jacob into Israel. There's a lot of work to sanctify himself, a holy people. And then all of a sudden, years later, it became a terrible people again. Once in a while, I ask God, can you make it really? Is it still possible? I know one brother who was in Rome. He was a very dear brother. He loves the Lord. And he told me once, if it continues like that, the whole situation, God will go back to the very beginning. He will be alone again. He will be just like Genesis. He will be alone again. He will have to start all over again. What? Oh, Lord, and then God's sanctuary is also holy. Don't defile his sanctuary. He's not going to be happy with it. How would you like me to go into your house and mess it up with black paint and all kinds of paint? How would you like me to do that? I'll bring 20 dogs into your house. Wild dogs. Would you like that? You know, many times we are wilder than dogs. No wonder Paul in Philippians says, beware of dogs. He you know, you should tell Mercedes. It doesn't mean Mercedes, okay? He's talking about a special kind of dogs. But the priests, they defile, and the people, they defiled his temple. Oh, my goodness. They defiled his temple. So at the end, he says, both the one who is awake and the one who is aware will be cut off. Everybody will be cut off. The blind leading the blind, both of them will fall into the pit. The Lord, when he came to this earth, he told the Pharisees and the scribes, you are the blind leading the blind. Right. Those who are awake are those who know the law. Supposedly, you should know the law. And those who are aware are those who are being taught. They follow. But if the leading ones became blind, of course, the rest will also be blind. And the Lord says, blind leaders of the blind, both of you are going to fall into the pit. All of you will be cut off. And then the second part is dealing unfaithfully with the wife of your youth. Of course, if you take a wife, right, and you're already married, right? As a priest or in the people, you're marrying your own kind, and now you're taking the wife of a foreign god. You have to get rid of your wife, the proper one. Right? Remember Abraham taking Hagar, is rejected by God. It's a no, no, no. It's a no, 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 no. Right. God will never accept it. So here you can really see what happened. Many of these wives that are divorced by the husband because they took the strange wife. They were complaining at the altar. They were weeping, crying out to God before the altar. You read it yourself. Covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping, with weeping and crying, right? Because they were being mistreated, cast out. They cast out the wrong wife. Instead of casting out Hagar, they cast out Sarah. Oh my goodness, what is that? And that is why, right, marriage is very important for God. Now you know why God hates divorces and all kinds of this, being unequally yoked with unbelievers. You know, the very wonderful reason is, in point 2C, because the purpose of the holy marriage is the Lord God seeks godly offsprings. Not just you have a good marriage, but your children is a gift of God. They must be a godly offspring for the church to go on, to grow from generation to generation. Unfortunately, after you come to the third generation, they became part of the world already. Fourth generation, they're worse. That is why the Lord used Christ and the church, right? And he used Adam and Eve. He used husband and wife as a picture of Christ and the church because he's looking for the next generation. What happened to the next generation, Steve? Godly offsprings. You don't care for the young people, for the next generation. People even accuse me because I care for the young generation. They have to go on with the Lord in a living way. But some people didn't like that. They want to hold on to their position. Right. Right. They don't care. Right. The younger generation should go much further than us. And the third should even go closer to the goal. Godly offspring. My, this is a mystery that is revealed here in Malachi. God seeks godly offsprings. So take care of your children and take care of your marriage and be an example to the children. What can I say? Our God is a very practical God. Don't think, oh, I'm going to be so spiritual going to every meeting and you neglect your family and your children. At the end, your children hate you because you were just a church goer and you don't care for us. And you leave your children to go into the world. And what kind of an offspring are we going to have? Our children are so dear to us. It's God's gift and it's your responsibility to bring up through prayers, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, through proper care to bring up a godly offspring. Right. Ah, my Lord, my God. What a wonderful word in Malachi. The Lord really cares for us for the sake of his plan and purpose. So God hates divorce. Can you imagine? Now you know why he hates divorce. Right. And Malachi says, take heed to your spirit. Only if we learn to live by the Spirit, then your marriage will be great. Because the Lord is the Spirit that dwells in us to teach us, to strengthen us, to supply us. Yeah. Amen. Ah, Lord Jesus, time is up. Yeah, time is up. But I hope this word will help all the saints everywhere and to show us how practical the priesthood is. Every area of our life will influence the priesthood. Okay? Amen? Agreed? Now, for this word, you all can say amen to Malachi. Because it is God's word. Right, we all agree with what Malachi says. Actually, what God is speaking through Malachi to us today. So maybe next week, sometime, we will go into the first and the second coming of the Lord. Right. Maybe you can just read it yourself. That's good. And the outline will be helpful. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers.